Hello, listeners. This is Paula Scataloni. Transformative Harmonics is an academy for individual and planetary healing rooted in ancient wisdom and modern science. We are here for those who are interested in being guided back to soul so they can step into their signature frequency and be in service of humanity. If you've been looking for a place to land and settle down, develop community, and dive into the psyche and soma in a way that is supportive, trauma-informed, and integrative, then our programs are here for you now. Our monthly membership circle is available for those looking for a one or twice a month option for themselves and supported by my writings and somatic practices and sound journeys through Substack. Our immersive program is a deep dive into your own, your ancestral, and the collective, so you can go through your own initiation and transformation into your signature frequency with a small, intimate cohort. These groups are closed, and they only open every other month. So please reach out to me if you're interested in one of our upcoming groups. If any of these programs feel like they resonate with you, go to my website, paulascataloni.com, and fill out an application or sign up for a discovery call. I'm happy to meet with you and give you more information to help you make your decision. We would love to meet you and bring your wisdom into the circle.
Welcome. I'm your host, Paula Scataloni, the founder of Transformative Harmonics, a podcast that offers listeners a synthesis of ancient wisdom and modern science. Welcome to Transformative Harmonics. I'm Paula Scataloni, and I'm thrilled to be here again with yet another person that I love spending time with. This is a whole new way of spending time together, so I'm thrilled that we carved this out. It took us a while. We both have busy lives and families, and so I'm glad we made it work. So I'm going to go ahead and introduce the guest today, who's Jenna Little. And then we're going to spend some time getting to know her and talking about her path of using sound and integrating it with all the beautiful things that she's doing these days. Jenna Little is a somatic therapist, a trauma-informed yoga teacher, sound healer, and registered dietitian who has a passion for integrative and holistic healing. She blends many modalities for a unique and embodied healing process that supports and empowers clients to come home to their bodies, souls, spirit, and story for healing, wholeness, and freedom. Jenna works with individuals as well, offering several groups and yoga classes, including her signature Yoga for Healing Intensive. She is trained in embodied recovery, trauma-informed yoga, somatic parts, and the Safe and Sound Protocol, along with polyvagal theory. Welcome, Jenna, to the space where we're talking about the integration of sound, science, and somatics.
Yes, thanks for having me. It's good to be with you.
Great. Yeah, I'm thrilled. So we're going to dive right in. We've talked a little bit off camera to just get an idea of what might be helpful for our listeners today. And I always like to, since you're part of our community and you're one of the faculty as well, give people a chance to get to know you, hear a little bit about your story and your path to using sound. And we might start with, you know, your path and then how we met along the way. And then, you know, I'll fill in with questions as we go, if that feels okay.
Yeah. So a little bit about my path. It was definitely unexpected. You probably hear that a lot. I wasn't looking for sound therapy. I wasn't looking for sound healing, really, and I really wasn't seeking any kind of, I would say, like Eastern medicine, you know, on purpose. It kind of came across my path during a healing season when I was in more of a Western traditional psychotherapy experience, and someone invited me to a yoga class, and I had not been a yoga person at that point. I loved fitness and movement, but found yoga. And as soon as I found yoga, things started to shift. And that was kind of the, I would say, the beginning of some sound introductions for me was through the yogic lens. And really loved the experience of being invited into my body, invited into the subtle body, how we hold energy and spirit and our soul and all the things that I was kind of exploring outside of, you know, yoga in my healing journey through therapy and through just personal growth. So I would say, you know, you hear about some sound healing in the yogic lens, but that was kind of the beginning for me, I think, kind of being open to more of some Eastern holistic modalities. And then through my yoga teacher training, you know, I was introduced to, you know, different types of yoga experiences, yoga nidra, restorative yoga, and even some of ceremonial practices that we do in the training. And there's a lot of chanting and playing instruments and receiving sound that way. So that was like over 10 years ago. So I would say that was kind of the start, but then didn't really pick anything up from yoga. As far as like, I didn't dive into sound healing from yoga, but really, I think I was receiving some different awarenesses of how we heal, how the body heals. And that was the introduction for sound. And then, of course, once you and I worked together, I got a whole new perspective.
Yes. And that came via, I think we crossed paths in embodied recovery.
Yeah.
Were you in the last cohort right before COVID?
I was in the COVID cohort.
You were in the COVID cohort.
I was in the COVID.
The world. Yeah. It was closing down around us as we were in the training.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I was in it. I started the introduction and then we kind of did level two as COVID was, we were trying to figure out. So we were wearing masks and all of that. And it was a big learning curve. Yeah.
Really hard to do this work with all the threat around us.
Yeah.
We found, but I'm glad you stayed. Yeah. So that was how we met. And I do remember you being, coming in with that yoga perspective. It's like you'd already dabbled in this other world that we were just introducing people to in the group, right? That the body actually matters in the treatment of eating disorders, right?
Yes. Yes.
So you came in there and then somewhere along soon after that, I started the cohorts of the small groups and exposing the people in that program to the SSP. And you were one of those very early groups.
Yes. Yes. That was so fun. Well, I just to speak to like my connection to you, I think in the embodied recovery journey, I remember being a little bit, you know, it's vulnerable work. So being in that space and being an energy person myself and then kind of sensing your energy. And there was, I think, an alignment there. And I remember us having a little bit of conversations around, you know, the body and, you know, what does certain parts of the body hold and different things. And you gave me some wisdom. So when then you offered this other option of like, hey, let's, you know, introduced you to SSP, it was an easy yes for me because I felt connected to your work already and just your perspectives that you were bringing in. So it was a lot of curiosity. I had no clue what SSP was and had never done sound healing, but I trusted you. And I was like, I enjoy Paula. I love her energy. And so let's go, let's do it. You know? So it was kind of like, it wasn't really about the SSP, but it was more about you were doing something new and I was curious. Yeah.
Yeah. And what do you want to talk a little bit about your personal journey with it at all to sort of light this up a little bit? And
yeah. Yeah. So doing SSP was such a unique experience. I don't think I had done any healing work like that at all at the time. Since then, I've done lots of sound healing with you. But that was the initial framework, I think, of learning to kind of go into my own soul, go into my internal world, go into my spiritual landscape even, and start to get a lay of the land. And that's kind of how I teach it when I do groups myself. I tell my clients, you're going to get a snapshot of the lay of the land. And let's just kind of see what's there, which takes a lot of trust and willingness to go inward. And so that was what SSP invited me into. It was like, let's just go inward. And I remember probably hour one of SSP having this experience. The first actual sound session we did, I saw a lot of visuals and you had kind of prepped us like you might have visuals. You might see, you might see images, you might have sensation, you might have emotion. So for me, it was very clear. I see things, I see images. And so I tracked that, and it was a wild ride, and lots came to me, and a lot of content came through, which is true to this day, how I sound journey. I have a lot of content that comes through. So I tracked it, and you supported us and kind of, you know, helped me understand how to hold that. And it didn't feel too much. Well, what stood out to me was then the second session, we went back in and it was like nothing. And I was like, whoa, what is that? And you were like, well, that's probably, you know, part. So stay curious, stay with it. So then I went back in, did some more sound journeying, and I realized that was one of my protectors. And so from the IFS kind of language, what was helpful for me was to realize as I was trying to drop in, there was this blankness that would overcome me. Like I didn't see anything, didn't feel anything. Everything was flat. Everything was neutral. And realizing I had to do that work with myself to say, I want to see. I know I can see because I saw it the first time. Now I have to choose it and I have to keep choosing it. And so that is how my SSP journey felt the whole 5 hours. Like I lay on my bed, I have my weighted blanket, I have one of my daughter's like weighted stuffed animals on my heart, I have like squishy things in my hands, and I'm like, I want to see, I want to see. And so there was this consciousness that I had to keep choosing to understand my internal world, and knew that it was, there was a choice to not feel anything. Like there was something wired in me that knew how to, I always called it a light switch, but that could just flip everything off. And I had never visualized it or felt it outside of a moment of probably stress, truly, when I was in a safe context. I had never met that. And so I got to meet that part of me that just shows up when I don't want to feel anything. And it wasn't even alarming, or so, there was nothing to it. It was just, only thing I can say, it was like neutral and flat. But then when I met it that day as a part, and I kind of talked to it and said, I'm ready. I want to go. I want to go into my heart. I want to feel, I want to see, I want to know myself and know my journey. It was like, okay. And it was like the veils moved away and then everything came alive. And I had this, you know, visual experience. It was kind of like watching a movie, but a very creative movie. It wasn't like a movie of my, like some people will say it's a movie of my life. Mine wasn't like that. Mine was very creative, felt like a lot of metaphors, lots of visuals in nature. My parts were, you know, some look like human parts and then some were like energies, felt like an energy part. So it helped really expand my perspective on meeting myself. But I think the biggest thing in that moment, those early hours of SSP, I realized I have a choice. And what do I want? And how do I keep choosing to know myself when I don't have to? And I can kind of just stay numb and say, oh, I've done enough, or I've seen enough, or I've felt enough, right? But there was something in me that was like, no, but that's not the fullness of life. That's not fully embodied. That's not fully alive, which is what my whole business and all of my work is about. And so there was this invitation of, okay, Jenna, you get to do your own personal work here. Do you want to drop in? And do you want to keep dropping into that? And over the course of, I think our group was 12 weeks, there was a lot of trust that I built with myself of like, oh, you can trust yourself. Oh, you can drop in and you can come out and then you can be in your life and you can see things and hold them and feel the intensity and grieve. And you can hold it. You can do it. You can move with all of it. And so that really allowed me to build a lot of trust with myself. And yes, I met all my parts, so many parts. I'm sure there's still more. But it took me back to a lot of places in my life that I didn't get to grieve as a young person. Yeah. So I did a lot of grief work.
Yeah. I remember. And so I remember because you had the background in IFS and you understood parts that, and this is something people cultivate over time. And we teach as sound journey guides. We can appreciate the ways that the body and the nervous system tries to take care of us by keeping information away. And then it is a choice. that we make to be conscious and to allow ourselves to feel and trust that we can hold the emotions that come with unprocessed events. And so you kind of, you know, lived through that yourself. You know, some of the events were intense because it is bringing us into states where there's not resolution yet, right? Resolution. And so we circle back to those places and we choose. And there's no right or wrong answer if we chose, like, I don't want to do that. I don't want to look at that. But I do like that you're highlighting both your trust in your capacity to hold the emotions and be with sensations and feelings and bodily states, and then making a effort to communicate with the parts that might shut things down. Because people have a lot of different responses to the SSP. Sometimes, you know, they'll say it was flat.
Yeah.
And some of that, you know, may have to do with those protective mechanisms. So I'm glad you pointed that out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wonderful. So how many times have you done it then?
The SSP journey?
Yes.
I've only done it once.
Okay. So in the mentorship, you did the RRP?
Yeah. We did the RRP.
RRP.
And okay. Did your music and different other music. Yeah. But I've only gone through the 5-hour journey from start to finish one time. We did, I don't know if you remember, we did some of like the monthly groups for probably about a year after we did SSP. We would do like parts of hour 4, parts of hour 5, we would go back in and do snippets. So I did some of that with you. But then RRP, and then also some of the Reiki sound journeying that we did.
Okay. Yeah. So you've had a variety. And for folks that are coming in that don't know RRP, that's the Rest and Restore program. It's the newer program that we use. And so Jenna opted to spend her time in the mentorship on that. So let's talk a little bit more broadly about sound journey in general, because now you're starting to say, well, you could journey this way, you can journey that way. So what have you come to understand about sound journeying in the different ways? Even, you know, you're bringing in, I know, even some of your yoga work with sound journeying.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
What thoughts do you have about that?
Yeah, it's become such a fun place to work with sound. I feel like it's like you get out your, you know, your art supplies and it's like, what are we going to create today? So I really love the diversity of sound. And when I think about sound in the beginning, I thought it has to just be SSP because that was my initial context for it. And then after doing the mentorship and doing Reiki training and doing other types of music, like sound journeying with other types of music, I realized, oh, wow, like sound is just a portal in. Sound is the portal. Music is kind of like the car, right? Or the vehicle that we're using, or the magic carpet that we're getting on, however you want to get it. And so it's really about allowing the music to kind of carry you into that portal of self, of, you know, all the parts of the self or the spirit or the soul, whatever language you have. For me, I think of the whole self as including the body, soul, spirit, and someone's story. So that's my personal framework that I teach and operate within. So to me, it's like sound is going to carry you into all of those layers of yourself. In yoga philosophy, we acknowledge the different koshas, the layers of the self, right? So we know that there's all these different layers that kind of bring us into the truth of who we are. And so for me, playing with sound and different modalities, it's kind of like, yeah, what's your vibe that day, right? So the way I'm working with it professionally is I offer SSP in my somatic healing group, very similar. We do an 11-week group, but then I'm offering sound journeying one-on-one blended with my counseling work. And that has been really fun. So what that looks like is, you know, when I have space or creative energy, I sit down and make playlists, kind of like a yoga teacher, just like a yoga teacher. And I put on my headphones and I light a candle and I'm like in the creative zone and I drop in and then I just start listening to music and sound and kind of really like let the spirit lead me or let my soul lead me to creating a playlist that feels like I would want to work with it And so it almost becomes this, you know, little template or tool that I get to use. And then when I'm a counseling clients, I ask like, hey, this is a place we could sound journey. Are you interested? And if they're interested, then I kind of guide them in and I turn the music on and we go. And so it's been really neat to not be attached to one thing or one methodology. I can do sound healing for 5 minutes with a client. I can do it for 30 minutes with a client. So it's not limited. It's really like, what is the client needing and having capacity for, what's moving around in them. And then there's like this deeper conversation happening during the sound healing or sound journey that I'm listening to. And then I'm also tracking with my client. So there's definitely like a energetic conversation that is really important to track and notice. And so you can kind of feel into like, okay, that's enough, right? Or, oh, we need to stay here a little bit more. So I've definitely had experiences where I've been in the middle of a song and kind of been like, oh, this is a little intense. We might need to like turn it off here. And then there's this knowing of like, no, something is really shifting. Stay with it. So, and then come to find out with the client, it was like, oh my gosh, yes, that was the moment, you know? So it's been really validating to also get the client experience as I'm having this information come through as the guide. So yeah. I don't know if that answered your question or if that just took us into another.
No, my brain or my process as I was hearing, it was almost like doing somatic experiencing with sound and allowing the organicity of the body and the system to guide you. Sound is the vehicle. But because you're an integrative provider, you're tracking and sensing at multiple levels, which many of us do. So you can sense when to pull back and when to, you're not using your left brain. Oh, I think that's enough. And that's the big learning piece with moving into sound, where people may come and say, well, I'm going to learn the technique or the technology or the tool. But it's not the tool, because all tools are the same at the end of the day. It's the capacity to deeply listen at that level that you're speaking at that truly brings you into that mastery of using sound, no matter which type of sound you're using. And the process itself, that ability to hold the container in the process itself, which makes it a healing space.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're really speaking. And,
mm-hmm. Yeah. And I've had quite a few people ask like, oh, who trained you with sound healing? And I always share your information. But I also let them know like your sound training needs to be you. Like we have to go through it. We're the instrument ultimately. And that was another thing that kind of was an aha moment for me probably the last year or so. So I've been doing, you know, working with SSP that was started in 2023. So 2 years, you know, under my belt, maybe 2.5 years at this point under my belt of consistently using sound as a healing modality. But then something hit me this year recently where it was like, Jenna, your voice is also sound. And the way that I've been trained or learned or integrated using my voice as a yoga teacher and a meditation teacher, there was just this big aha that like, you've been doing sound healing for 10 years. Your voice is the sound, right? And so even if we're kind of playing with sound healing and different modalities and tools, like all of us really are kind of sound healers, because if we're guiding and using our voice, that is an instrument. And no, I'm not a singer and I don't chant. And I do play singing bowls occasionally in a restorative class, but even in my therapeutic work, I don't play singing bowls as a yoga teacher, but my voice and much of the feedback I get from my clients is your voice, your voice, your voice. Your voice is, I mean, they'll just say the way it soothes, the way it settles, the way it supports. Right. And so, you know, I can dismiss that or I can acknowledge, oh, there's something about my voice that is an instrument.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of a part of, I think, this kind of the offerings of mine at this point with sound too.
Mm-hmm. I love that you're speaking of this and highlighting it both for yourself in your business and also allowing the listeners to hear this piece. I was just preparing because I'm going to speak at PESI soon and talk about polyvagal theory and sound. And I was drawn to conversation about prosody, tone, pacing, and the way the voice entrains, and how as parents, when children are dysregulated, we are using our voice. Well, we can use our voice to further dysregulate them, right? By getting angry with them for being upset and not regulated. Or we can use our voice to calm them. And that requires the parent to be in their own regulation.
Yes.
Right? And this is really no different in terms of the person leading the space or holding space. When we're holding space for others, we either invite them into a deeper conversation with themselves through how we speak and our cadence and our prosody, or we invite people out of conversation, out of connection. So paying more attention to how we use our voice and bringing that into people's awareness so they can become more cognizant of how they're affecting people with their voice.
And that is part of, you know, when you go through the SSP work or you go through any sound journeying work, you're gonna meet those parts of your voice. You're gonna meet parts of energy that might be binding, right? Kind of blocking your voice. And so to kind of bring it full circle of, as we heal and do our personal work, it shifts how we show up in the world. And I saw that to be true. I mean, my nervous system was definitely, there was a before and after for me with SSP. And I could give certain bullet points around like what I found to be different in my life and in my nervous system after going through SSP. But the big, you know, invitation for me was to all these little places that I didn't realize were still holding grief, trauma, energy, doubt, fear, you know, confusion, kind of went through the channel and got cleared. So there was a clearing. I often think of the body as a channel, especially with the chakra system, but it's kind of like the clearing had to happen to free up the voice, right? The nervous system to come into safe and connected and to come into connection and social connection and creativity. And to me now, what I'm playing with is healing is creative. Sound healing is creative. And so I encourage my clients to see sound healing as a creative journey.
I love it.
Yeah.
Giving them permission to probably play with sound as well.
Yes.
I know often I tell people lately, if a song pops in your head, go put it on. Have fun with that.
Have fun with that.
Well, let's talk a little about what you have to offer and how people can find you. And I also want to talk about the retreat and what you're offering at the retreat.
Yeah. So coming up, I have my Yoga for Healing intensive. This is my signature 3-day healing experience that, you know, I've kind of said it's like my fourth child. It was just like birthed out of me. It was the culmination of doing my personal work and huge transformation season of my life where it was kind of like almost a download came to me on my yoga mat that said, you're going to create this and you're going to help people learn how to heal and grieve in their bodies on their yoga mat. And I was like, okay, well, I'm not a yoga teacher. So then I went and became a yoga teacher and then it just all fell. So I've been I wrote it and have been leading this work since 2018. So it's very sacred and special to me. I teach it once a year. So I have my women's intensive coming up and here in the Triangle in Wake Forest at a local yoga studio that I partner with. And so we'll be there in October. So clients or people interested in kind of weaving yoga, psychology, sound healing, spirituality, story work. We do a deep dive over that weekend. So that's coming up. And then I do work one-on-one with clients. Do a counseling framework. And I am a holistic counselor. So I weave all sorts of things in. And then, yeah, I do workshops. I'm kind of try to lead creative workshops throughout the year, yoga classes here and there. So I'm kind of got some things sprinkled in, before now, and then we have our retreat coming up.
Beautiful. And just to highlight with your individual work, are people also able to access you as a dietitian within that as well? Are you fully integrating everything, or have you put that one aside?
I've kind of put that one aside. Okay. I do give, like, occasionally I'll say, I'm going to put my dietitian hat on and give you this perspective, but I kind of explain the difference if they're needing a full-time kind of dietitian on their care team or on their life team or part of their healing village, whatever they want to call it. And then I do refer out to dietitians to do more of that foundational, true dietetic work. But everything is informed. I mean, nourishment is like all in my conversation. So I'm always talking to my clients about nourishment, embodiment, what's blocking that, what are barriers to that. So it's very informed and infused into everything I do. But I say, if you want a whole hour mapping out food, talking about food, that's your traditional dietitian, and I refer out to that.
Okay. Wow. So you really are a blend of so many things. Okay. And so you have the focus of the yoga, you have the SSP groups, and then you have agreed to, thankfully, come and be a part of our retreat, which we're just going to start talking about more publicly up in Asheville. And you'll be leading morning yoga and embodiment practices.
Yes. I'm so excited.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yoga is like my joy. So, you know, we talk about following your joy. Sound healing is a joy. Yoga is a joy. It's very, you know, it's just such a gift to me to lead it and then to get to share it. So anytime I get to be in yoga, whether it's taking it, teaching it, offering it, it's a gift. Yeah.
Beautiful. Well, I'm so thrilled that you'll come. I have not experienced your yoga yet, so I'm excited to be a participant in that. Yeah.
Yes.
So yeah, I feel like we've circled around quite a few pieces here. And so I appreciate, is there anything you feel we've left out, or you feel pretty good about the conversation?
Yeah, I think it feels very good to me.
Wonderful. So can you leave people with maybe the name of your website and if you have Instagram or Facebook or any followings, and we'll end that way.
Yeah, my website is jennalittle.com. So just my name. I kept it simple on purpose. And then I am very active on Instagram, social media at Jenna Little Wellness. So I try to post snippets of my life, snippets of the work I'm doing, the groups I'm leading, and just kind of inspiration for the journey, right? Just to kind of keep us nourished as we keep going. I think I'm all about longevity and sustainability. And I have folks that have kind of been a part of this, like, you know, I've been on Instagram since 2012. So they've been with me from the beginning. So so it's really beautiful to kind of see the community there unfold. So I love getting to kind of cultivate community online.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you are a leader in this field. And I'm so glad that you're part of our community. We get to share in some of your gifts. And I hope listeners have enjoyed Jenna and I hanging out together. And if you want to see us in person, feel free to get more information about our retreat, which you can find online at www.paulascatalone.com under the retreat section of Transformative Harmonics. Thanks again, Jenna.
Thank you.